Okay, we're starting here at the top of Daf Chaf Umar Aleph. How Baruch the Chazal Lifta Puma Tadano? We have this A is a goat that sees a turnip sitting on top of a barrel. Sarich, Selik, Achla Lifta. He scaled up the barrel, put his legs up on the barrel, and then ate the turnip from on top. The Tavrid Ladano, while he was eating the turnip, because he propped himself up on the barrel, because of the way he was eating it, he broke the barrel itself. Chayve Rava Lifta Vadano. Rava was Mechayvim both on the turnip and on the barrel. Nezek shalem, full nezek, my time. Came into orche the mecha lifta, orche nami lisruche l'misalik. That since it's normal for a goat to eat turnips, then it's also normal for a goat to prop itself up to get to those turnips. And since the goat did nothing out of the ordinary, therefore everything is considered to be nezek of shein or nezek of regel, and you'll be chayiv nezek shalem in all of these instances. Amar ilfa, behemar b'shut rabim. An animal that's walking around b'shut rabim, pashta tzavra, and then it stuck out its neck, and ate food from on top of its friend. In that instance, is chayevet. My time, why is that the case? Because eating off the back of its friend is the equivalent of eating b'chaser ha-nizak. As if you're eating in the chaser ha-nizak. Now, we know that the din is, when it comes to behema b'shut rabim, one is patur. When it comes to Shein v'regel. So over here, he's eating off the back of an animal in the Rishut Rabim, he should be patur. But no, that's what the Gemara is saying. That no, that over here, it's a case of Shein still. Why? Because it's considered Chatzar and Yizak, because he's eating off the back of his friend's neck. And since that's not the Orche in Rishut Rabim, not enough of not an Orche to be a Karen, but not the Orche means to have this be in Rishut Rabim or have such a case to take place. Therefore, it's equivalent of eating out of the Chatzar and Yizak. And he'll be responsible, be chayav in this case. Now, another case, lema misayle. Let's say we have a brisa that helps his position. Haita kupatam uvshelet achorav. He had a basket that was hanging over his back. Upashtat savrav achla. And the animal put its neck in to eat it. Bimenu chayevet. In that case, he is chayav. So this sounds like, again, here where the animal doesn't eat out of the Rishut Rabim itself, but off of the back of someone's basket or off of a basket. And then before we saw with Ilfa, in the case where he eats off the neck of the animal, those all should be classified as chaser nizak, and then you're chayevet. Mar says, no, kedavar rama bikofetzet. It's the case where it's kofetzet. It jumped up. It climbed up. Again, it propped itself. It pulled itself up with its legs into the basket and then stuck its neck in to eat. That already is mishuneh. If it's mishuneh, then it's a din in Karen, and the reason he's chayevet here is chayevet chatzi nezek because it told of the Karen, but not because this is shame. Achanami kofetzet. Also, in our case over here, it's kofetzet. Vehechi itmar de Rova. So now we quoted Rova to say there was a case where he jumped up. Now, what's the case of jumping up? Where's the court case that we're quoting from Rova? Aha, the Amar Ravoshia. He said it on this case of Ravoshia. Behema b'shut rabim halchavach la p'tura. If it's walking and eating, then it's patur, because that's shein b'shut rabim, which is patur. Amdavach la chayevet. If it stops to eat, then it's already karen, it's mishuneh. And therefore, he'll only be chayev chatzi. He will be chayev, but only chayev chatzi nezek. So Malar says, "Maishna halcha to orchehu." Why is it when he's walking and eating that's normal, and therefore he's patur because that's the normal course and that's the normal way that animals act in Rishut Rabim? Amdanami orchehu. When an animal stops in Rishut Rabim, that's also normal to stop to eat and to move around in Rishut Rabim. So none of these are considered out of the ordinary. If none of them are out of the ordinary, they all come under the category of Shein. If they're all under the category of Shein, it should be Patur, Bishut Rabim. So what's this differentiation in Rav Oshia between walking and stopping? So Amarova, Rava qualifies in that Bikofetzet. That's the difference over here. When it's walking, true, that's normal, and that's Patur, Bishut Rabim, Shein, Bishut Rabim, that's Patur. When it stops to eat, that's also normal, and Shein, Bishut Rabim would be Patur. Case that he says Amda is a unique case where he's kofetzet. He jumped up or he propped himself up to eat, which is an unusual manner in which he's eating, and therefore becomes a todo of Karen. It's called a Karen, then he's chayev be chatzi nezek. Bari Rabbi Zera mitgalgel mahu. When it's rolling down, what's the din? Okay, so the guy's going to ask, hey, dummy, what's the case here? Now, Bachuk is Rashi and Tosos and other postgame, many other postgame about what exactly the case is over here. So first of all, we'll read according to Rashi, and then we'll come back and look at some of the other possibilities. So what's the case? Kagom dekaima amir b'shut ha-yachid. The pile or some sort of bundle is inside the b'shut ha-yachid, is in the private domain, in the chatzer nizak. V'kam mitgalgel v'atim b'shut ha-yachid b'shut ha-rabim. And it's rolling from the b'shut ha-yachid to the b'shut ha-rabim. According to Rashi, it's the animal is actually moving it. It's pulling it out of the b'shut ha-yachid, chatzer nizak, and he brings it into the b'shut ha-rabim to eat it. My, what's the din? So Rashi says this is what we're trying to clarify. What is the determining factor for when it's chaser nizak and shuter rabib? Do we go butter achila azlina and goes where the animal eats it? That's going to determine where we are. So the animal pulls it out of the chaser nizak and eats it in the shuter rabim, then it's a din in the shuter rabim because he ate it in the shuter rabim. Or do we go butter the shakla azlina? Then we go after where he took it from. Since the animal pulled it out of the chaser nizak, then he'll have all the dinim of chaser nizak. Even though he eats it in the shuter rabim, he'll be chayav. Again, so that's Rashi. According to Rashi, that's the question. The animal is moving the object or the food from one location to the other. And our question is, what determines where this food is? Is it determined by where the animal eats it? Or is it determined where the animal brought the food from? So Tashma, the Gemara tries to bring a proof. Tani, Rabbi Chiya, Masui, Miktzato, Bifnim, Miktzata, Bechutz. We have some sort of bundle or a pile of food that is partly inside and partly outside. I mean, partly in the Rishut Rabim and partly in the Chatzer Nizak. Achla bifnim chayevet. Achla b'chutz p'tura. That's the case. When he eats it inside, then he's chayevet. If he eats it outside, then he's patur. Outside being Rishut Rabim, inside being the Chatzer Nizak. And this is Shane. So in Chatzer Nizak, he'll be chayav, and outside will be Rishut Rabim. So my love, what's the case here that inside and outside? So Gemara says, mitgalgel v'ati. That's the case of that he pulled it out. The animal pulled it out. So what do you see from here? If, according to the Havamino of the Gemara right now, we're trying to suggest that the animal is standing in one location. For instance, he's standing in the Rishut HaRabim. So now he's standing in the Rishut HaRabim. He eats that which is found outside and inside, and he eats the whole amount right in the Rishut HaRabim. So that we see what? That it's a case that we're going after butter achila azlinan, because we say wherever the animal is standing, if he's standing outside in the Rishut HaRabim and he eats the stuff, whether it's inside or outside, he's going to be chayav. That the modification or the qualification, the Mishnah, what says that is bifnim umibachutz, is modifying where the animal is standing. So if the animal is on the outside and he pulls all the food out to him, meaning in the Rishut HaRabim, then he's going to be patur, because we go after achila. Or the other way around, if he's standing in the Chatzer Nizak and he pulls all the food into him, in that case he's going to be chayav, because he moved everything to him, and we're going butter achili, where the animal eats. So Gemara says, lo, that doesn't have to be the case. No, we can set up the case like this. Ema achla amash b'shem fnim chayevet, amash b'chutz p'tura. No, not that the modification of fnim b'chutz is where the animal is located, but that's where the food is located. And therefore, we're going butter d'shakla, and we're going after where the food was taken from. That will determine whether you're chayev or p'tur. So now, it doesn't matter, it's irrelevant where the animal is standing, it's relevant where the food is. So since the food that was on the inside, meaning on the Chatzer and Nizak, that you'll be chayav for, because that was eaten out at Shein b'Chatzer and Nizak. The food that was sitting outside in the Rishut HaRabim, you'll be patur, because that is outside, that's in the Rishut HaRabim, and Shein b'Rishut HaRabim is patur. So here we say, no, that goes botar shakla azlina. It depends where the location is. So we can't prove anything from this brisa, because we say we could set it up that it's going botar achila, we could set it up it's going botar shakla. We have no determining, can't determine from this whether it's achila or shakla that's going after. But eat by itema, another possibility is kama Reb Chiya b'ptila dasafsata. The case here that Reb Chiya is talking about one piece of food that is very, very long. And since the food is very long, the expectation is when the animal eats the food, naturally as it eats the food, it'll pull it towards it. So therefore, over here in this case, it's considered as if it's sitting in one location. And even though it's stretched over Rishut HaRabim and the Nizak's property, nevertheless, wherever the animal is eating it, the item or the food item is considered to be totally in that location. So even though the achila, the animal is dragging the food towards it, and it looks like we're going batar achila, that we're going after where the animal is placed to determine whether you're chayev or not, but the truth is, it really isn't after the animal, but the shakla, where it's taking it from. Because wherever the animal starts to eat it, it drags, because the food is one unit that's very long, when it drags it towards it, it's as if it was all sitting in that location beforehand. So if the animal's in Rishut HaRabim, starts eating the food of Rishut HaRabim, then you are patur. Why? Because that's Shein Rishut HaRabim. Even though part of this food was in Rishut HaNizak, we don't worry about that, or we don't consider that in this case, because the food was so long, it was as if it was all sitting in Rishut HaRabim. Same thing the other way around. If the animal's in Rishut HaNizak, as it eats the food, we're going to assume that everything's in Rishut HaNizak, because the food is one unit, and as the animal eats it, it's as if it was all placed in the Rishut HaNizak. And again, we have nothing conclusive from this Breiser, or nothing we can prove, that whether we go, according to Rashi, Botar Achila Azlinon, or Botar De Shakla Azlinon. We don't have any raya from the Breisa, because we could set it up in cases and explain it in either direction. Now, The Gemara, the Tosfos disagrees with Rashi for a number of reasons. One is a case we're going to get to in a couple of daf, which is a case where a dog takes a chora and a gechele takes a piece of bread that's singed or burnt along with a coal, and then he eats the bread and a gadish. And the Gemara is going to ask where would that gadish was found. So you see, the Gemara is not focused here about butter achila or butter shakla azlina, and it's clearly the Gemara is looking at butter achila. Wherever the animal eats it, that's going to determine what the condition or what the outcome of the situation is. And the other thing that Tosfos points out is that the Lashon of the Gemara doesn't make sense. It says mitgalgel. Mitgalgel seems to be referring to a object itself is rolling, meaning that the amir, the bundle, is itself rolling, not what Rashi is explaining, which is that the animal was migalgel, meant that it rolled. Mitgalgel means that it's rolling itself. It's happening to itself. It's reflexive. Rather than migalgel, where the animal is rolling it, it's an active verb. So he says, no, the case, Tosfos says, is a case where the amir is actually rolling by itself. You say it's on a hill, and it's rolling from the Chatzer HaNizak all the way into Reshut HaRabim. As it rolls down the hill, then the animal sticks its head into Reshut HaNizak and stops the amir from rolling into the Reshut HaRabim. So in this case, what is the din? Is the din because he ate it in the Chatzer HaNizak, then he's chayav because it's shein b'chatzer nizak? Or do we say, had the animal not stopped it, this amir would have ended up in Reshut HaRabim, it would have rolled all the way out to Reshut HaRabim, therefore it has a din of Reshut HaRabim, and shein b'Reshut HaRabim is patur. So the Gemara tried to bring a proof from the Braisa of Rabbi Chiya. The Gemara says, oh, isn't that a case where it's rolling out, and that's what b'snimu b'chutz means, he stopped it on the borderline? The Gemara says, no, it's not the case. The case is, what would have remained in, if classified as in, would have remained out, would have been classified out, and therefore you have no conclusive proof. And again, or the possibility of the case of Rabbi Chiya is the case of a safta, tila de safta, it's a very long piece of food. And here the Gemara is discussing an issue of maybe you would have thought you go butter rov, and then it's either totally bifnim or totally bilchutz. But instead the Gemara says, no, we look at the border, and whatever is on the outside of the border you don't pay for, because that's shein b'reshut HaRabim. Whatever is inside the border is shein b'reshut HaNizak, and that you will be chayav for. Now the Gemara continues, achlak sutu kelim, and then the Mishnah continues and says, qualifies, our Mishnah says by shein, that shein only applies in Reshut HaNizak, but does not apply in Reshut HaRabim. When the Mishnah does that modification, what is it looking at? In the beginning of the Mishnah, we saw two cases. One case is where the animal eats davar shero oila, peirot, yirakot, it eats vegetables and fruits, and that's where it's modifying. That when is the behema shein, chayev or patur for shein? That's only b'chatz HaNizak is chayev, and b'Reshut HaRabim he is patur. On the other hand, the possibility is that there's a second part to the ratio which says that the animal ate the varim she'en royulah. It ate and things that are not appropriate for it, like sut and kelim. In that case, we said he is chayav. He's chayav keren, because that is nezek bishinui. He ate something that was unusual, becomes toldo to keren. He's chayav chatzi nezek. So in this instance, when the Gemara comes along afterwards and modifies and says that's only true b'reshut HaNizak, but b'reshut HaRabim is patur, is that modification also applying to the second statement of the Mishnah? And this happens to be a machlokas. Gemara says, ahai, on which part of the Mishnah is it going on? Amrav Akulu. Rav says it goes on everything, both on eating peirot and rakot and in ksuta kelim. The Mishnah modifies it only in the chayv and in the chatzer and izak, not in reshut HaRabim. My time, what's the reasoning? Kol meshaneh ubacher v'shinabo patur. When something's already unusual, when there's something, a person does something out of the ordinary, and then another individual or another animal comes along and does something unusual, then you are patur. So in this case, what's unusual? That their ksut and kelim are found in Reshut HaRabim. That's not the normal place that people leave their clothes and their kelim. And then on top of that, we have here an animal that came along and ate them. So that's a double shinui. Double shinui, you are patur. And therefore the Mishnah, when it modifies and says you are patur in Reshut HaRabim, that's applying both to eating things like peirot and yirakot in Reshut HaRabim, as well as eating ksut and kelim. Shmar lo shenoy lo peirot v'yirakot. Shmuel says, no, it's only modifying the first statement of the Mishnah. The case where he ate peirot v'yirakot, that's only true. You're chayev in Reshut HaNizak. In Reshut HaRabim, you're patur. Baksut galim, chayevet. Baksut and galim, you're chayevet both in Reshut HaNizak and Reshut HaRabim, because it's a tolda of Karen. V'chein amar Resh Lakish akulu. Resh Lakish also says that the modification goes on all them, like Rav over here. V'az the Resh Lakish tatamei. Rakish goes according to his reason. Damar Resh Lakish shtei parot b'reshut HaRabim. You have two cows that are in Reshut HaRabim. Achad revutza v'achad melechet. One of them is walking and one of them is resting, is crouched down. Ba'ata mehalechet b'revutza p'tura. If the walking one kicks the one that is laying down or resting, then he is patur. If the one that's laying down kicks out and hits the one that's walking, chayevet. What's the reason here? Because it's normal for animals to be walking in Reshut HaRabim. It is not normal for animals to crouch down or to sit and rest in the middle of the Rishut HaRabim. So therefore, if the animal that is walking does the kicking, doing biata, kicking is Karen. That's an unusual action on his half. But he kicks something that was already unusual in the Rishut HaRabim, this animal that was laying down. So here we have a double shinoi. That double shinoi is going to be patur, just like Rav said, and this is what Rishut HaRabim is saying. On the other hand, if the Ruvutza, the one that's laying down, kicks out and hits the one that is malecha, that's walking, in that case he will be chayavit. Why? Because walking, an animal walking Rishut HaRabim is normal. The biato, the kick of the one that's laying down, that's the unusual. So you only have one thing that's unusual, that's a toldo of Karen. In that instance, you'll be chayavit chatzi nezek. So that matches up with what Rav says. When you have a double shinoi, you're potur. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lo Shano Ela Peirot V'Yirakot Ava Ksut Galim Chayevet. Rabbi Yochanan holds like Shmuel and says that it doesn't, that the modification of our Mishnah, that it's only in Chatzin Yizak and not Rishut HaRabim, is only on the first case of Peirot V'Yirakot. When it comes to Ksut and Kalim, you'll be Chayav even in Rishut HaRabim. Leimer Rabbi Yochanan Leitle Deresh Lakish. So the fact that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Shmuel means that it doesn't hold like Rav. If it doesn't hold like Rav, then maybe he also doesn't like hold like Resh Lakish. The Gemara says, the Philip Bishtei Perot, lo, the Olam Itle Ksut, that he holds like Reish Lakish. But he's going to differentiate between the case of Reish Lakish and the case of our Mishnah. Ksut, Avdein Ishe Manche Glimim Mitpache, in the Rishut HaRabim, there are cases where it's normal for people to put their clothing out in the Rishut HaRabim. Why is that? Because people tend to need a rest. They take a rest, they take off their coat, they put it down, they hang it up for a second. So that's normal to find clothing in Rishut HaRabim. So therefore, when the animal came and did one shinoi on it, and he ate the clothing, that already you can be chayav. That's Karen Rishut HaRabim with only one shinoi, and therefore you are chayav. Avo behema lav orcha. When it comes to an animal crouching down in the middle of the Rishut HaRabim, that's totally unusual. That's not normal. If that's not normal, you have a double shinoi. In that case, it would be patur. So Rabbi Yochanan basically is holding of this position or this case that Rav and Reish Lakish, or this principle that Rav and Reish Lakish lay out, that is, when you have a double shinoi, you're patur. Rabbi Yochanan only argues on Rav and disagrees that Ksut and Kelim is a double shinoi. He says, by Ksut and Kelim, that's not a double shinoi, because people do, in some instances, put their Kelim or put their Ksut in Rishut HaRabim when they want to rest for a second, when they're carrying a load, or when they want to stop for a second, they rest and they hang their stuff up, or they put it there for a short time. Therefore, it's normal, and there's only one shinoi. Whereas, when it comes to shtei parot, a par, or an animal, never just sits down and rests and lays down in the middle of the Rishut HaRabim. So in that case, it's a double shinoi. Double shinoi, Rabbi Yochanan agrees that you are going to be patur, like Reish Lakish establishes. Now, in our Mishnah, we saw a distinction between a case where he eats in Rishut HaRabim, or he eats Rishut HaNizak, where he eats in the middle of the Rishut HaRabim, versus the side of Rishut HaRabim. The Mishnah differentiated between, in those instances, where we normally we call Shein Patur, that he doesn't have to pay. We said he's Patur from paying the Nezek, but he's still Chayav to pay the Hanoh, the benefit that he got. What do you mean the Hanoh? I mean this animal needed to eat. Now it ate. It ate someone else's food. You were going to have to feed it, so you got some benefit. The fact that you got some benefit, right, you should have to pay for that. Versus, in the cases where he eats on the Rishut HaNizak or the Tzidei Rechava, we said he has to pay Masha Hezik, pays for the absolute damage that he did. So what's the nafkah mean is going to be in an instance where the food that he ate is way more expensive than what the owner of the animal normally would have fed him. So in a case where we say he's chay for the nezik, means he's got to pay the full value of what the animal ate. On the other hand, if it's a case where we say he has to pay mashinenit, the benefit that he got, then he pays him the equivalent value of the normal food that he would fed his animal. So that's what the Gemara wants to know here. How do we assess what the normal, or how do we assess what the owner would have fed the animal? That's a machlokas, v'kamel. What is mashinenit? Rabba amar d'me amir. That we look at the lowest form of food that would be given to a animal, and that lowest form of food is what you pay for. You pay the basic, the most economic bottom line number that you're going to pay to assess what the value of him eating food instead of you having to feed him. But beyond that, you won't pay. If you have to pay hezek, then you're going to pay the full amount. Rabba amar d'me sarim b'zol. No, that we don't pay the least amount. You pay sorim, which is the normal food for this type of animal. Since it's the normal food for this animal, that's d'me sorim. You pay the equivalent of what you would have fed him in a normal circumstance. You don't have to pay him the market price for that. You pay him the d'me zol. You pay for the cheap part of that. We say that's about 30% discount from the market value, because we say that We assume that he might have gone to the place where he could have gotten it much cheaper. He would have bought lower quality stuff. But in general, we assume that it's demesorim, which is a higher level of food, but the normal food that these animals would eat. So when it says Tanya Kavasi Drabo and Tanya Kavasi Drovo, we have a brisa that supports each of the positions. Tanya Kavasi Drabo, we have a brisa that supports Rabu, says that we go after Dmei Amir, which is the lowest form of food they could eat. Because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Amar, Imisha Mamet, El Dmei Amir Bilvad. And when you have to pay Mashneni, to pay the lowest cost food that you could attain or you could feed your animal. And because of that, that's what we assess. Mashineni, that's the benefit you got, that you didn't have to feed your animal. Now, Kantanya Kavasi Drovo, we have a brisa like Drovo, Imnenit Mishalemet Mashinenit. If he gets benefit, he pays what he got the benefit. Ketzad, what's the case here? Achla kavu kobayim, he ate a certain measure of a food. Enom rim tashalem demayam. We don't say pay their true value. Elom dim kamadam rotel achil bimto davor haru'ilo. We say, well, let's see how much a person would pay to feed his animal, that which is normally fed to him, that which is appropriate for the animal, that is, seorim, afal pishein ragil. Even though he normally doesn't feed his animal seorim, he feeds him amir, which is a very low-class food, and most people wouldn't feed their animal. Nevertheless, we assess everybody based on what's the normal feed. Normal feed is seorim, and then we're going to base our assessment on normal feeding habits by most people, not by your specific case, where you're feeding him much lower quality stuff. Now the Gemara says, "Befikach achla chitin o davar harala." If he eats wheat, which again is not normal feed for the animal, is actually maybe detrimental to his health, or davar harala, or something that is otherwise detrimental to the health of the animal, ptura. In that case, he's patur. Why? Because he did nothing. Number one, he didn't do the hezek because he's in a place where you're not chayiv for shein, and number two, he didn't get any benefit because the animal ate something that wasn't beneficial to it. In that case, there's no reason to pay dmei hezek, and there's no reason to pay dmei hana. So in that case, it would be patur legamrei. Amalei Rav Chista Rami Bar Chama. Rav Chista says to Rami Bar Chama, lo avid gaban beortab tchuma. Last night you were not with us in the tchum. Rashi brings two pshatim down what the tchum is here. Either it was, I don't know, Friday night, or it was outside of tchum Shabbos, even on a weekday. You were too far away. You didn't reach the base medrash last night, so you missed it. Or lo hayta b'tchum. Tchum means that's the base medrash, because their base medrash were found out in the fields, not in the cities. But they were then the tchum of Shabbos, so they could reach there on Shabbos. So you weren't in the base medrash last night. Either way, you weren't in attendance. The bailan milim ha'aso. I asked an amazing question. So Rav Chizkiah says, I asked an amazing question, and you weren't there to hear this question. Amar my milim me'aliyoso. What was the great question? Amar lei. This is the question. Adar b'chatzir chaver shalom idato. Someone who lives in his friend's place without his knowledge. Tzarich la'alot lo schar or ein tzarich. Does he have to pay him rent, or does he not have to pay him rent? Hey chidomi, what's the case? Ilei b'chatzir lo kaim lo agro v'gavr lo David megar. If it's a case where generally, this is a chatzer that's not rented out. It's not a rental property, or this person doesn't expect to rent out the property. And number two, it's a person who doesn't generally rent, meaning that either he has other houses in other places, or he has people to freeload on, and he normally wouldn't pay rent. Then, zelo nene, vizelo chatzer. This guy is getting no benefit, and this guy's not losing anything. The guy who's living there is not getting any benefit because he wouldn't pay rent in another case. Either he owns his house, or he would be freeloading on someone else. So he gets no benefit from living here because he wouldn't pay rent anywhere. Bezolo Chaser, and the one who's he's living in that place, he's not losing anything because he wouldn't otherwise rent out the location. Since he otherwise wouldn't rent out the location, he's not losing anything by having this individual live there. Tosva says, actually, in this case, even in a case where it normally would be rented out, and this guy is getting no benefit because he normally wouldn't rent, in this case, you are patur. Tosa says, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter that there's a loss here to the one who's living here. As long as you don't get any benefit, as long as you get no hana, right, then we don't assign or we don't make you pay for it. The other poskim all argue on Tosa and say, what do you mean? If you cause a loss, you got to pay for the loss. Doesn't matter if you're getting benefit or not getting benefit. And actually, so Ella, can't be the case here. Ella, b'chotzer, the kaimila agro, b'gabra, the avid lemegar. No, it's a case that what? The chatzer is normally rented out, or he could rent it out, and this is a person who normally would pay rent in other places. Well, that's a case of zeh nenev zeh chaser. The renter is getting benefit because he would have to pay rent somewhere else, instead he's living here for free. And the landlord is losing because he normally would rent this out, and this guy's living in it instead. And even though it's not rented out currently, he's still losing. Why? Because when people see someone living in there, they don't think it's up for rent. They don't look at it as an opportunity to go and rent it, so he's causing him a loss. So in that case, you're clearly chayav. Lotricha must be a case, b'chotzer to lo kaimel agro. It's a property that the landlord would not normally rent out, so he's not losing anything. V'garba d'av the megar. But as an individual who, if he didn't have this location to live in, he would rent in another location. So this is otherwise what's known as zenene v'zelo chotzer. The renter is getting benefit, but the landlord is losing nothing. My, what's the din? Can the renter look at the landlord and say, I didn't cause you any loss, so why should I pay for it, anything here? Or maybe the landlord can say back to the renter, you got a lot of benefit here, so do you pay for this benefit? You must pay for this benefit. You would have otherwise rented somewhere else, and now you should pay for this benefit. So again, what's the focus? Is the focus on the loss caused to the landlord, or is the focus on the benefit accrued to the renter? So he says, Amalei, Rami Bar Chama responds to Rav Chista, had I been there, I would tell you, Masnisani, it's our Mishnah. Hi, Masnisan, which Mishnah? Amalei, L'chi Teshamishli Shakal Sudre. Says it's a Mishnah, and he says, well, Rav Chista says back to him, which Mishnah? He says to him, listen, do a little something for me, take care of me, and I'll tell you that. So what did he do? He says, Shakal Sudre, took his turban or his head covering off, the Karachle folded up. Amalei, he says, it's our commissioner here in Baba Kamim, Nenit, Mishalim, and Mashinenit. When it comes to Rishut Rabim, and the animal eats the fruits there, even though he's putter from the Nezek, he still has to pay for the Hanah that he got. So Amar Rava, Rava says about this response of Rami Bar Chama, Kama lo choli, v'lo margish, gavro, demari seye. All these things, how wonderful is a person where Hashem is with him, that Hashem looks over him, he has divine providence looking over him, that he doesn't get sick and he doesn't even feel it. He doesn't even notice that Hashem is protecting him. Everything is going well for him. Over here, Rami Bar Chama says something that really is not sensical. And Rav Chista is mekabel for him. Dapagav delo domi lemasnisan, because these cases are not comparable. Right? Kabla minei. Nevertheless, Rav Chista accepted this answer from him. Hi, zenen ze choser. What are you talking about? Our case in our Mishnah is a case where there was hana and choser. When the animal eats the fruits in the Rishut Rabim, he's getting benefit because now he doesn't have to eat. The owner of the animal. And the owner of the fruits is losing because now his fruits are gone. Right? As opposed to our case over here, by the rental situation, hi zen nenev is a lo choseru. In our case here, the renter is getting benefit because he otherwise would have to rent somewhere else. But the landlord is losing nothing. So how can you compare the cases? Mar says, no, but Rami Bar Chama says, no, the cases are really comparable. Why? Stam peirot b'shut harabim afkure mafkir luhu. When a person puts his peirot in the shut harabim, he already is mitiyayish from them. Not that he's literally mafkir them, because if he's mafkir them, there's nothing to pay. I mean, if he let them, he disowns those fruits, and if the animal comes along and eats them, then there's nobody to make a claim against the animal. But rather, what does it mean that when he puts them in the Shut Rabim, his expectation is that people will come and step on it, or get destroyed, or it might get eaten. So even though that is his expectation, that they will get ruined, but nevertheless, there's still hana being afforded to this animal. So even though he still owns them, and truthfully, if someone got hurt on these things, he would have to pay for them. But nevertheless, since he expects it to get ruined, then we don't consider it chaser, because that was what, when he put them out there, he didn't expect them to be in the same condition when he came back. Therefore, he's not really chaser. On the other hand, the animal, the owner of the animal, is benefiting from the fact that his animal ate. Now he doesn't have to feed him later. And that's why Rabbi Bahama saw the cases as being parallel. So Mars now is going to go through a number of cases trying to bring a proof of what the din is when it's zenene v'zelo chaser tatan. Amakif chavero mishlosh ruchutav. Someone who owns fields on three sides of a friend. You can see the picture on the left in Rashi. Begadar to vishonav eshinav eshlishit. He built a border around on the three walls. According to Rashi, he actually built an outer wall around his own property, Ruvain, and he built an inner wall also around the property of Shimon on three sides. Then the Gemara says, "Ein mechayvin oto." You can't force Shimon to pay for these gedarim, because Shimon says these fences really don't help me. My fourth side is still open, and since it's open, right, you really haven't benefited me anyway. But the Gemara says you can medayik from this. How if he eat? If he builds the fourth wall, mechayvin oto. If Reuven goes ahead and builds the fourth wall around, then we are mechayiv him to pay for that, all the walls that are here, at least for the fourth wall, but it sounds like for all the walls. Shmami nas, from this we can see, zed nenev is a little chaser. The inside, Shimon's benefiting from the walls that Reuven is putting up, right? And chaser, Reuven's not losing anything because Reuven has to put these walls up anyway. He wants the fences between him and Shimon anyway. And yet, what do we say in that case? That you are chayav. When it says, shani hotam, darmalei, ad gramtli hakefe yateiro. Rashi says, no. What do you mean? According to Reuven, says, Shimon, if you didn't live in the middle here, I would have just had to put my outer fences on. But now that you live here, I have to actually put in the inner fences. So it's a chisaron for me. The fact that you're living in the middle and I have to put this additional fencing into the middle, that's causing me a loss. So it's really a case of zenenet, bezechaser, and that's why you're chayiv in this instance. That's the way Rashi explains this case over here. Tosfos disagrees and says that he doesn't see this case as being the fencing on the inside, the fencing on the outside, but rather is a case where Reuven fences only the outside of his property. So if he fences the three sides, Shimon says, I have no benefit. People can still get into my property. On the other hand, if Reuven fences in the fourth side, right, the fourth side meaning the fourth outer side of his property, now Shimon is benefiting from the fact that he is now surrounded. His fence is surrounding him on all sides. So that's the case of Zenene. Right, the Shimon's getting the benefit of Reuven's outer fence, and Zelo Chaser, Reuven's not losing. He would have to put the fence around his property anyway. No, so the Gemara says, no. It is a case of Chaser. Why Reuven's losing out? Because he actually has to build a bigger fence. Had Shimon not been in the middle there, Reuven would able to be for the same amount of property would have been able to make a much smaller fence. Over here, now he has to put up a much wider fence because of Shimon's property in the middle. So he actually is chaser. He's actually losing out by the fact that he has to build a much larger fence to encompass both his property and Shimon's property. And that's why it's a case of Zeh Nenet, Zeh Chaser. Again, we can't prove anything from this brisah. Now the Gemara says, Tashmam Rabbi Yosi Mamma Nikaf Vigadar at the Revi'it. The word Nikaf is not found in the Mishnah, but it's implied from the Gemara sets up in the Mishnah over there. So now our Gemara reads it with it inside. Yimamad Nikaf. If Shimon goes ahead and builds the fourth wall, Vigadar at the Revi'it, Megagalina Lev at the Kol, then we force him to pay for everything. Why time of the Gadar Nikaf? That's because the Nikaf went ahead, Shimon goes ahead and builds the fourth wall, so he shows that it's Nechle. He shows that I really wanted the other three walls. But Hamakif, but had Reuven built the fourth wall, Patur. He would have been Patur. Shmamina, Zenene, Vizelo Chaser, Patur. So again, if Reuven built all four walls, that is benefiting Shimon, but Reuven's losing out nothing over here. And yet we say, in this case, he is, what, Patur? So there should be an answer to it. Zenin is a little chaser, Patur. Shani Hotam, Darmele, Didi, Sagalibin, Atira, Barzuza. Shimon can say to Reuven, listen, truthfully, I didn't need such a fancy fence. You put up this stone, this beautiful fence over here. All I needed was some thorn bushes around the side here. That would cost me nothing just to separate our two properties. You went ahead and put in this fancy, fancy thing that I don't need at all. So truthfully, if he was, you know, meaning that he is a partner, or he does have to pay him for what would have been the minimal wall here. But in the case when he puts up a much fancier wall, that's not a case of Zenene Zelo Chaser. He says, I'm not benefiting at all. It's Zelo Nene Zelo Chaser. I'm not getting any benefit, and you are, in a sense, losing something because you're paying for it, but Zelo Chaser, you're not paying any more because of me. So in that case, we say he is Patur. But truthfully, had Shimon really wanted the better wall, or was necessary to have the better wall, then it would be a case of Zenen as a Chaser. Maybe we would say Chayav in that case. Again, from this Mishnah, we can't prove anything. So now we're going to try from another Mishnah. Tashma, Bait Vali Asha, Shel Shnayim. You have someone who lives in a house, and then someone lives in a duplex, and then someone lives in the lower house, someone lives in the upper house, Shenaflu, and then the whole building collapsed. Amar Balaliyala Balabayit, leave note. The upper part of the duplex wants to put his house back up, and he says to the lower guy, build your house so I can build my top house, my top part of the house back. But when he wrote, the man who owns the house downstairs doesn't want to do it. Hari bala li abun e bayit, he builds the bottom house, the yosheba, and he can live in it, achitin lo yitzio tav, until the balabite pays him for his expenditures to build the lower house, and then from there he'll go and build the aliyah and live upstairs. So the Gemara says, we can be in daik here, yitzio tav du mechayev le, he must pay him the full amount of his expenditures. Balabite haschoro lo. But he does not deduct from the amount he pays for him the rent that he lives there. Shmamina zenene v'zelo chaser patur. In this case, what? The Baal Aliyah is benefiting from living in the house downstairs of the Baal Abayit. On the other hand, the Baal Abayit is not losing anything by him living there because he wouldn't have rented it out. He wouldn't have built it anyway. So until the time he pays for it, right, there's nothing. That's zenene v'zelo chaser. And we see that he is patur. He doesn't have to pay rent in this instance. Gemara says, what do you mean? Shani hotam debate of Aliyah mishtabe. That's not true because the upper house of a duplex has rights on the lower house, meaning that he has rights in that lower house. He has rights to have that lower house built so that it can hold up his upper house. Because of those rights, that's why when he lives in there, he lives rent-free. Because really, the Baal Abayit owes him that building on the lower half so that he can build his aliyah on top. When he doesn't do it, then he goes in. So it's a case of Zenene, right? He is getting benefit. But on the other hand, his hanoah is coming from the fact that he has some sort of ownership in this lower house, not because of the other guy who's giving him rights to live there. And therefore, it's not a case of zenene v'zelo chaser. So now Gemara says, Tashma, on this case, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, avze adar b'chatzer chavero shlomidato tzarech lo tzachar. He just says on this case, no, the person from the upper house has to pay rent to the lower house while he lives in there until he builds the aliyah, or until the other guy pays for it. Because why? He would have to rent somewhere else in the meantime. In fact, he doesn't have to rent somewhere else. Now he lives here, he's getting benefit. Zenene zelo chaser, he has to pay. Chayav. Shmamina, zenene zelo chaser, chayav. Shani hotam, mishum shachririta dashiato. It's a case of a new house. In a new house, the walls are all white. when he goes in there and lives in there, he blackens the walls. A used house, a house that's already used, when a person moves in there, he won't deteriorate. The depreciation of the house will not be significant, and therefore there's no lo chaser here. In our case, that's not true, because he built a brand new house, and then he goes and lives in it for the first, he's the first person to live there. And therefore, he brings it from being new to being a used house. And that deterioration is ze chaser. So it's a case of ze nene, ze chaser. And that's why you have to pay rent over here, according to Rabbi Yehuda, not because it's ze nene, ze lo chaser. So again, no proof from this case. Now, Shalchua Bei Rabbi Ami, they sent this question of Zen Enev Zilo Chaser to Bei Rabbi Ami, the case of Dar B'Chatzer Chavero, and they sent it to Rabbi Ami, Amar Chimasa Lo, Mechasro, Umahaziko. Rabbi Ami says, clearly, he doesn't have to pay for it. Why? He didn't do any damage to him. He didn't cost him anything. He didn't cause him any loss. He wouldn't have rented the property out anyway, so there's no loss to the landlord, and the renter is benefiting, so what? He doesn't have to pay for it. They sent it to Rabbi Chirba Amar and Nityashi Bidar. Let's think about it. Hadar Shalchu Kameh to Rabbi Chirba Ava. They sent it again to Rabbi Chirba Ava. After a while, they didn't hear back from him. Amar Kulei Hai Shalchuli Vazli. He says, you know, you sent this back and forth, or you guys, you know, sent. I know that you're looking for the answer here, and I know that you want an answer. And Ilu Eshkacha Batayim Alo Shalchan Aluhu. Had I not seen something, had I not heard an answer to this, I would have sent it to you already. You don't have to send it to me again. I know you're looking for an answer, and I still don't have an answer. I haven't been able to come to an answer to this. Itmar Rav Kana Amar Rav Yochanan Otzarech Lalo Tzachar. Rav Kana says the name Rav Yochanan that you don't have to pay. Zenene Zelo Chaser, you don't have to pay for it. Rav Yabau Amar Rav Yochanan Rav Yochanan says the name Rav Yochanan Tzarech Lalo Tzachar, you do have to pay Tzachar. Amar of Papa, hi to Rabbi Bo. That position of Rabbi Bo says that Rabbi Yochan believes you do pay bezenen as a lo chaser. La beferishit mar was not said explicitly. Ella michlala itmar. Rather, it was implicit from a conversation that took place. That's not. We have a mission. Notel even o korashel hekdesh. This is them at the Gizbar, the treasurer of Hekdesh. He went ahead and he took a rock or a board of Hekdesh. He didn't do any Mila because there was no change in Rishus here. The Gizbar has permission to move this stuff around, to work with the stuff. He hasn't done anything. Not Nol the Chavero. If he gives it over to someone else, then there's Shina Rishuti. Then who Ma'al the Chavero Ma'al? He's the one who's Moel because he took something out of Hekdesh's position and gave it to someone else. By doing that, he caused it to leave the possession of Hekdesh. He is Chayv in the Mila, the Gizbar. But the Chavero is Ma'al because it's already Chulin by the time it gets to his hands. If the Gizbar builds it into his house, there is no case, there is no Mi'ila until he lives under it, right? An amount worth of Sheveputa. Why is that? When he put it over the skylight. I mean, if he builds it into the actual house, according to Rashi, if he builds it into the house, already that's the Mi'ila, because he used the board, he used the Evan, and that's done. So this points out, but that's not truly true either. He has to do something to the board of the Evan to change it. But otherwise, it's what's called Shinei Chozer LeBriato. He used it in the house, but you can dismantle the house, take the brick out, or take the board out and hand it back to Hekdesh the way it was. So that still is not annoying. He has to actually do some change in order to make it that he's Chayav. But nevertheless, the case over here is a case where he put the board, he just laid the board across the skylight. So he did nothing to really be Moel in it because he didn't change it. He could just take the board and hand it back to Hekdesh. When does he Moel in it? When he gets Hanoah by sitting under the board. When he uses that board under that skylight where it's protecting him from the sun or from the rain, then he gets Hanoah with Herputa. Then he is Moel. So what do we see from this? And then we saw V'yoti Rabbi Bo came to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Bo was sitting in Rabbi Yochanan when we were learning this Mishnah. Right, Vayati Rabbi Bo came to Rabbi Chamar. Mishmei the Shmuel. He said, "Rabbi Shmuel, zot omeret hadar b'chatzer chaveru shalom idato tzarich lalo l'sechar." Someone who lives in his friend's property without his knowledge, he has to pay for it. I mean, this is a case of zeh nene v'zeh lo chaser. Why? Because over here too, Hekdesh is not losing anything by it being on his skylight, and yet he's getting benefit from sitting in his house. So he sits in his house, he gets benefit, and we're charging him Mi'ila for that benefit, even though Hekdesh is not losing anything. So we can conclude from this, Zenene, Zelo Chaser, you are Chayav. V'shotak lei, Rabbi Yochanan never responded to Rabbi Abau. So he was serving me the shotak modile. The reason that Rabbi Abau believed that when Rabbi Yochanan did not respond to him, the statement of Shmuel that he said over here, that he agreed to him, that he agreed to Shmuel's position. That's why Rabbi Yochanan, he says Rabbi Yochanan believes that you have to pay. Zen and Ezlo Chas, you have to pay. Belohi, he was wrong. Ashkuche lo ashkach pay. Kedarabo, he didn't really pay attention to him. He doesn't hold of this position at all. He doesn't think Shmuel's right at all because of what Rabba says. What dama Rabba? Hekdei shalom idat. Kehejot midat dami. When we talk about Hekdei shalom idat, when Hekdesh doesn't know that you're using Hekdesh, that's the equivalent of a case where Hejot midat, when Hejot knows about it. So the way Rashi seems to formulate it is that there is no such thing as leka lo midat by Hekdesh. Why is there no such thing as lo midat? Who is the balabait of Hekdesh? That's Hashem. Shechina, the Shechina always knows. So there's never a concept of lo midat by Hekdesh, and therefore Tikkun, they're having me dat by a hedger, where the hedger actually knows about it. The little problem, or some of the problem with that explanation is that that's more of a reason to be patur, in a sense. If you say he lives there without the knowledge of the landlord, and there we say that he is patur, if he lives there with the knowledge of the landlord, and the landlord doesn't object, then he certainly should be patur. The Tosus gives a slightly different explanation, which is that, what does it mean, kehedjot midat? Kehedjot midat means not that with the knowledge of the hedjot, but rather that it's equivalent to the case of a hedjot objecting. That hekdesh has a natural objection built into it, that one is not permitted to get benefit from hekdesh, right, or not be, otherwise it is me'ila. As soon as you get benefit from hekdesh, the automatic state is that you now have been moel, because hekdesh always objects to you getting hanah from it. So it's the equivalent of kedat hedjot dami. Kedat hedjot doesn't mean that he knows about it, but rather kedat hedjot means that a hedjot objects to it. So where, again, the case of hedjot shalomi dat means he doesn't know about it, so he hasn't objected. That's why you don't have to pay schar. When a hedjot dat doesn't mean that he knows that you're there, but rather he knows you're there and he objects to you being there. But hekdesh, whether it's midat, shalomi dat, which is lav dafka, because it's always midat, that's what actually explains that Kadosh Baruch always knows about it, but rather it means it's always, there's an automatic objection built in, as if he objected in all cases, and you are chayav mi'ila in that instance. All right, we'll stop here.